This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is God's word. How do you know that God has manifested himself in your life? You come here and you speak about God and you read God's word and we sing to God. But how do you know that he has manifested himself in your life? You see, the Bible teaches that God wants to show himself to you. God wants to reveal himself to you. In the Old Testament, God manifested himself to his people through these, what we call theophanies, these moments in the Old Testament where God appeared in some form, in some measure. For example, he appeared to Abraham. If you remember the three individuals who visited Abraham, and that was the pre-incarnate theophany of God, Yahweh, coming to earth and being present and revealing himself. Other times you had God showing up through fire, and we'll talk more about that. But how do you know today that God has manifested himself in your life? Pentecost teaches us that God has manifested himself in you. You know, it is my dream someday to own and operate a large aquarium in my house. I love fish. And I would love someday to have a point in life where I can just pour myself into this hobby of having a big tank and a bunch of fish and bubbles and snails and have a whole colony of exotic fish, kind of like a Mr. Rogers type thing, you know, let's feed the fish now. And I used to have a goldfish when I was first, before I was married, then after I got married. And this goldfish's name was Mr. Fish. Very creative. And I had this fish, and he got pretty big, and I enjoyed him. And every once in a while, his tank would get filthy, because fish are filthy. And the sides would get algae on it and whatnot. And so what I had to do was remove Mr. Fish from the tank and clean the tank. Now, if you remember, fish have the memory of a goldfish, which means very short, which means within 5 seconds, they forget what happened 5 seconds earlier. And so imagine you're this fish and you're just going about your life and you're just, you know, doing your thing, eating your algae, playing with your bubbles, and life is good. And then all of a sudden, this gigantic hand comes down and swoops into your environment and picks you up, and you're moving around into other places and you don't know what's going on. Well, that's exactly what God did at Pentecost. He came and he interrupted our little lives. He came and manifested himself in a different way. And just as Mr. Fish had to go through this experience, God wants us to understand he wants to interrupt our lives. He wants to present himself to us, and we better readjust. Amen? And every time I did it, I'm sure Mr. Fish forgot that I did it before. And sometimes we forget that God wants to manifest himself in our lives. But the amazing thing, when I got married, my wife and I moved in with Debbie, my mother-in-law, and she managed to train that fish to know that she was there. This fish was actually obedient to her. I don't know how she does it with animals. It's amazing. We want to be trained to know that God wants to be a part of our lives. We're like little fish. God is this giant, grand being, and he wants to participate in our environment. And so when God came to his people on the day of Pentecost, he manifested himself with different tangible elements that we want to look at here this morning. So the people had gathered. They already knew that God wanted to come. If you remember at the beginning of the chapter of the book, in chapter 1, Jesus said to the disciples, it is not for you to know the times or seasons when the Father has put in his own authority of the coming of the kingdom of Israel. But in verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And if you go back to the end of the book of Luke, Jesus is telling them, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And also in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He's saying he's going to send his Holy Spirit to interrupt our world, and we are going to be guided by the truth, verse 26 of the same chapter, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And so the disciples knew that this moment was coming upon them, and praise God it did. So back in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that is the day of harvest, remember, they were all together with one accord in one place. It was a 10-day prayer meeting leading up to this moment. Praise God for prayer meetings, amen. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So the first way that God manifests himself at Pentecost is through the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. He manifested himself to his people through wind. He used the element of wind to teach his people that he has come. And it's well appropriate that he should, amen. Because what do you think of when you think of wind? You think of movement. You think of life, activity. When I go for a walk with my dog on a still day where there's no wind, I walk past a tree with leaves and there's no movement. It's like the leaves are dead. But when I walk past the same tree on a windy day, it sounds like there's an applause as the leaves of the tree are clapping its hands. It's like suddenly the leaves become alive by the wind. And it's interesting that the word for spirit in Hebrew is ruach. And that word means wind, air. It's interesting that when God created mankind, he formed Adam from the dust of the earth. And then what did he do? Did he snap his finger and Adam became alive? No. Did he speak, become alive, and Adam became alive? No. What did he do? The Bible says that God breathed life into that sand, that dirt, that lump of clay. And suddenly there became Adam. He breathed life, air, life, movement, activity. What is God teaching us? When he manifests himself in your life, suddenly the deadness of not knowing God, the deadness of not living for God comes alive. You are given life. You are given movement. You are given activity. And he does this first in the natural realm when you're born. I wonder, I don't know because I'm not there, the Bible doesn't say, but I wonder, at the moment in which you are conceived, God breathes that soul into that body and it continues to grow as you are created in that moment. We're all born in the natural realm, but Jesus said, the wind moves wherever it wishes. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So is he who's what? Born of the Spirit. Wind. The day of Pentecost, a wind came. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God breathes life into you. He breathes the living presence of the Holy Spirit into your life. So once you were dead, now you're alive. That's how he manifests himself into your life. God and wind, God and life. I remember before I was a Christian, I believe, interpret this as you will, I believe God was trying to teach me about his nature. And there was a period of years where he was drawing me, but I wanted my sin. But I was coming to understand that he is real, but I still wanted my sin. There was a period of struggle. I came to understand he is true. The gospel is true. Jesus is the Savior. But I like my sin. Didn't want to give it up. So I played the part. And there would be these times when I would, quote unquote, pray to God. And interpret this as you will. This is my experience. I lived near a river. And this is the river where I was saved at. But I remember I would sense that I needed to go to this dock by the river. And so I'd walk down, and the way the campground was situated, there'd be a long, flat playing field and then a stone wall. There are a lot of stone walls in Rhode Island because there's a lot of rocks. You know, over here at the high school, you've got a flat playing field and a nice sledding hill. But you don't want to go down because stone walls, you fall. And so in Rhode Island, you've got this stone wall. And I'd go to the edge of the stone wall with about, I don't know, a 6-foot drop. And this was overlooking the river. And I'd stand there. And what I'd do is I'd spread my arms like this. And I wouldn't go down until a gust of wind came past my face. And the moment the wind passed my face, I interpreted that as God inviting me. And so I would go down, and I know some of you are like, oh, that's amazing. Some of you are like, heresy, new age. But interpret it as you will. God speaks through his creation, amen? Whether you're saved or not saved. And so God, and so I don't know, I went down to that dock and I would communicate to God, but I was a sinner. And so there was this disruption, call it what you will, whatever. Wind was what God was using to speak to me. And boy, that day came when I was on that dock and the wind of the Spirit came into my life and there was a shift. From that moment on, the direction of my life was more towards God. The movement of my life was more towards God. Not perfect, but movement. At that moment, it was like a ship and the sail set and the breeze of God moved me along. So this is the first principle that I want us to understand here this morning. God manifests himself in your life by he breathes life into you. Okay, if you're taking notes. He breathes life into you. God wants to bring life, vitality, and movement into your life. He does not want you to be stagnant and lifeless. He wants you to move. He wants you to set your sail by faith, trust him, and allow him to move in your life across the ocean of this tumultuous world. Amen? He wants to move. And sometimes you'll be walking with him day by day by faith, and you sense the movement as he guides your paths. You trust in him with all your heart. You lean not on your own understanding. You don't lean on the the wheel, you lean on the wind to guide the wheel, to direct yourself in his will. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and what shall he do? He shall direct your paths. You see, you might be in bed hitting the snooze alarm, and the wind, the breeze past your face is saying, get up. You might be active and moving and doing all your things, and the wind and the breeze may be pushing you back and say, stop, stay, pray with me. You might be at work and you're just conscious of God, and there comes to be this movement and breeze in your life to direct you to reach out to that coworker because they seem like they're distraught and you love them and you want to know why they're distraught, and you ask them and you can share truth and the love of God to them. God breathes life into you by the Spirit. And the question I have for you today, are your sails set? Do you in your life open up your sails by faith to his movement? You got to open your sails by faith, otherwise you won't move. By faith means looking to God, opening his word, praying to him and saying, I open myself to you and your influence and your direction and your guidance over myself. And sometimes we hit some rocky territory in the ocean because we don't open up to him. Amen? Is he breathing life into you today? When Pentecost came, he came as a mighty rushing wind. He breathes with life into you. Secondly, if you look in verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. There came divided tongues, or my footnote says that this could be read, there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each of them. Now, you know, some people will say that when you read Pentecost, the word tongues should be translated as languages. And that is the case in some instances, but that's not the case here. Fire did not descend from heaven and distribute as languages. You can't see languages. Languages is not something that could be seen. Language is a vehicle of truth that can be heard and understood. So what happened here on this day is God appeared as fire, visual, burning. And in the ancient world, sometimes fire was described as tongues. Why? Because when you look at fire, it looks like the flames are licking as they flap. And so the fire, as a ball of fire distributed as licking flames, tongues, and rested upon top of each of God's people. An amazing thing. And then afterwards, their literal tongues, the word in Greek is tongue, like the meat in your mouth. But it is used to describe language, and it is also used to describe tongue. And so the fire came as flames, and then suddenly their tongues were loose, and they spoke tongues, languages that could be understood by the people present from all over the world. That's what happened. So God manifested himself as fire. Fire. There appeared to them divided, lapping flames of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Well, what is God trying to teach you about how he manifests himself into your life? Well, in the Bible, fire is a representation of God's holiness. The baptizer we call John the Baptizer, said that when I baptize you with water, But when he comes, the Messiah, he said what? He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? With what? Fire. And so when God came at Pentecost, he came through the manifestation of fire. And God always reveals himself as fire to represent his holiness. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, and I think it's an interesting picture here because yesterday my wife and I went to see, there's a homeschool theater group. We love theater, different plays and musicals. That was the thing that it was the icebreaker when I saw Alicia and I wanted to converse with her. I asked her about a musical. That was the icebreaker. And once in a while, we like to go to a show together. And they put on this show called The Prince of Egypt. And I never heard of it or anything, but it had to do with Moses and whatnot. And there were some pros and cons. But what I will bring up is they had, when Moses met God, they had a bunch of people get together and they used the people to act like the flames of the bush. And so the people were there and they were moving their arms like this. It was interesting. They had red lights on the group. And I was thinking of how the tongues of fire, the lapping and the movement and the holiness of God, because if you remember at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Fire, holiness. You go over to Exodus chapter 13, and God appears as a pillar of fire. You go over to Exodus 19, and God appears on the mountain as a fire, a storm, a flame upon the mountain that is presenting his holiness. You look in 1 Kings chapter 18 and the contest between the prophets of Baal and Elisha. God descends upon the altar as what? Fire. Showing that he is the one true God. And the people shout out, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. And so God manifested himself through fire. So here's the second thing. First, he breathes with life into you. Secondly, he burns with love in you. He burns with a holy love in you. You see, when you receive God in your life, when you become born again, he rests upon you in your heart as fire. Suddenly you are inflamed with love for him. Suddenly you are burning with a holy zeal for his ways. The things that you used to love, you don't love anymore. The things that you used to be drawn to, you're not drawn to that anymore. And all of a sudden, there's a burning sensation of his presence that overtakes your desires so that you love the things he loves. You desire the things he desires, and you have a zeal inside your life for God. There's a holiness that comes into your life, not your own self-effort to follow him, but you submitting to him as he breathes into you. When I used to go camping, or when I used to do Sybil Borby enactments, we would make a campfire. And what we'd do is we cut a square out of the sod, we'd turn the sod over to create a barrier around, and then we create a campfire. And when we were done, we remove the ashes, we take the sod and flip it over, and it looked like we were never there. And I learned a lot about campfires doing that. And one thing that taught me is that if the coals go down, if the embers die down, you get on your hands and knees and you do what? You blow air and it reignites. Or you take something to fan it, and it burns more. And I think it's interesting that God comes as a wind in the Spirit in your life, and he burns with a fire in your life. Isn't that interesting? And so if you feel like your love for God is dying down, if you feel like your love for God is going dim, you need to fan into flame the fire of God so that you burn with zeal for him. And that comes with, again, receiving his wind into your life. I remember when I started walking with God, there was a changing of desires. And when you start walking with God, there's a changing of desires. There's a fire in your life, and people see that in you. They see some things about you. When I met Alicia, there was something about her. When I met God's people, there was something about them. When you meet your unbelieving friends and family, there's something about you. It's like there's smoke coming out of them. There's a fire burning inside of them. Why? Because God is there. Are you aflame for God today? Are you aflame for him? Passionate, holy zeal for God. He burns with love inside of you. He breathes with life inside of you. Finally, the people were there. The tongues of fire divided and sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's where the language came into play. And that's how God manifested himself. And we're going to talk about speaking in tongues in the future because it comes up on multiple points in the book of Acts. But here, what we can glean from is that God manifested himself through language, through speaking. And that teaches us that not only does he breathe with life into you, not only does he burn with love into you, but he bellows with language through you. He bellows with language through you. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the breath of life comes inside. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the burning fire dwells inside. But when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that comes out in how you speak is a manifestation of his presence. Now, I know people can fake Christian talk, but you can't be a Christian and call Jesus cursed. Amen? No one can say Jesus is cursed unless if they don't have the Spirit of God, they call Jesus cursed, but no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Amen? And so when God gets a hold of you, suddenly you realize things you say, you realize there's something else going on in your speech. God uses your unique personality. He uses your unique intellect. He uses your unique interactions with others. But as you speak for God, as you walk with God and interact with others with God, you realize there's something else going on. He bellows his language through you. And the clearest example, I think we all can agree, is that When you're a follower of Christ, you realize that some of the filth that used to be on your lips doesn't appear anymore. It's like God takes over and purifies your tongue. And so when you used to speak filth and garbage, now you're speaking life and blessing and edification. Amen? That's a clear example. And what happens when we're not walking with God? What happens when we're not trusting in the Lord? What happens when we're not being filled with the Spirit? How does that affect our speech? How does it affect our speech? Well, sometimes we say things we regret. We say things out of the flesh. We say things that hurt people that was not from God. We say things that maybe are inappropriate. Amen? I remember I was at a restaurant once with Alicia. We went to this place called the Fireside Grill for Valentine's Day, a great restaurant. And I remember sitting there, and we ordered our food. It was a great meal. And at the end, the waitress came to give the bill. And you know, guys, when you pay your bill, sometimes you like to be a little showy about it. You know, you get everything ready, the money, and the waitress comes. And like before they approach you, your hand is out like this. You're leaning back and you're like, keep the change. You know, you say, keep the change. And you're just thinking about how they're like, wow, well, I wonder what tip they gave me. And you gave a good tip and you know it. And you're given that tip and you're like, keep the change. So I did this. And I said, here's that. And I was, you know, thinking about the tip, the generous tip that we as Christians give waiters and waitresses, right? That's what we do. And I remember thinking, and then she came back and she started speaking softly into my ear. And the words that she was saying came together as one sentence: you didn't give enough. And I said, I was proud that I gave, you know, this tip. And then she came back and she said, you didn't give enough to pay the bill. And I said something, like I just said something. And I fumbled and I got my wallet and I got, you know, more money and I gave it, I'm sorry, and whatnot. She came away and I was just, you know, thinking to myself. And I looked up at Alicia and she was like, and I said, what? She said, you just said, and I'm not going to tell you. And you'll never know. Don't ask her. She won't tell you either. And it could have been bad. Could have been, you know, simple little, you think, that's not us. You know, just you fill it in. But I said something I regret. Because I was not relying on God. I was too filled with myself and the, you know, pizzazz of the restaurant and the handing of the tip and just so filled with myself while I spoke from myself. Amen. And when you are filled with yourself, yourself will speak. And you won't like it. But the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Filled with the Spirit, speaking. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with your own self-gratification. Be filled with the Spirit and speak the praises of God and the truth in love. He manifests through your life in language. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. God manifests himself in your life as he breathes life into you. God manifests himself in your life as he burns with love in you. God manifests himself in his life as he bellows through your speech. I want to ask you today, has God manifested himself in your life? My challenge for us all is to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need your wind to come and as a breeze in my life and carry me along your will. I'd like us to take time and ask ourselves, do I open my sails by faith to God and his word? I say yes to God. I say yes to his plan for my life. I say yes to his lot for my life, things that are out of my control. I will open by faith and ask him to guide me through the channels of this life I live. Is he breathing in your life? I love what Brother Todd taught a couple weeks ago, the name of God, Yahweh. We say Yahweh, but in ancient Hebrew it's pronounced Yahweh, wind. Is he speaking his breath into your life? Secondly, is he burning in your life? Has your love for the Lord and your love for the holiness of God and the rejection of sin in your life, the rejection of injustice in the world around you, has that love grown cold? You know you love God, but it's kind of, there's a little bit of apathy, there's a little bit of indifference at work. Will you and I ask God to fan into flame that zeal, fan into flame that love, so that we are burning for Him, that we are lit torches for the light of the world? Finally, I want to ask us, is He speaking through you? Is He speaking through you? When you speak with your friends, when you speak with your wife, when you speak with your husband, when you speak with your children, when you speak with your coworker, is it His influence guiding your lips as He fills you with the Spirit? He will use your unique personality. He will use your unique, nuanced approach to conversation. But is it He? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your manifestation in this world. And I pray that You would come as a gigantic hand into our tank and stir us up and wake us up and remind us that You are here. Breathe Your life, burn Your love, bellow Your words through us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, all God's people together pray. Amen. Amen.